I'm Madeline Walter.
And I'm Ben Axelrad, and we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
And anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, the podcast about health concerns, both real and imagined.
Because it's better to laugh about it together than cry about it alone.
I have a runny nose and an ingrown hair, and
my knee hurts.
My armpit kind of hurts. Is that a rash? And I had Asian food, and that makes me feel kind of sick. I might be lactose intolerant.
Welcome to another Definitely Dying. I am sitting across from Ben, who's wearing a neck brace. And Ben, you got to give us an update on your pinched nerve. There have been developments.
Yeah. So I don't know that the pinched nerve is still what's ailing me.
Okay.
I definitely had one at some point, and it may have improved. I mean, it's definitely improved. I'm not sure how much of what I'm dealing with now is that and how much is I don't know if it predated it or if it happened as the result of it, but I've got some tendonitis in the elbow, which is more commonly known as a tennis elbow. I do not play tennis. I think we've discussed this on the podcast before. It sounds like something that
it's like in the board game Operation, like it's like a tennis racket in that man's elbow.
Yeah. Or like if you had like a medical improv show and you were like, could I get a suggestion from the audience that somebody
Someone's
would yell tennis
dad
elbow?
Would be like, tennis
elbow. And then you'd be like, but I actually have tennis elbow. So I'm in physical therapy now.
How's that been going?
It's okay. I've only went twice. Mm-hmm. I'm going back after this podcast, and it seems like it's helping, but you know, it's always hard with these things to tell if like the thing that you're doing is helping or if just time heals these things. And so I think it's helping though. It's weird. It's like weird to, you know, when you go to physical therapy, you're surrounded by like primarily two types of people, and they could not be more opposite. Like one are like very old people who are like, you know, rehabilitating from like replacement hips or replacement knees or whatever. And then just like professional athletes, you know, like people who are like, you know, they got injured, like, you know, running the 40-yard dash or
like
whatever.
You fit into the professional athlete.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Professional old person me. So I hang out there and I have, I would say I typically have a sort of a youthful disposition. So people have, so they like me there. I can tell that, much like at my dentist office, I'm one of the favorites.
Medical professionals love you. You are the favorite of every like medical office that you go to.
That is very frequently true. And I know whenever my mom is in the hospital or at the doctor or whatever, that the nurses all love her. Like I think we have a good private. I am a machine that was designed for panic and panic only. But when I'm in a public situation, I think I've become somebody who's more who can adapt to being there for others. So like not wanting other people to be terrified on my behalf, I put on like sort of a sunny disposition.
You're very friendly and personable, and I would say quite likable.
Thank you.
It's not a surprise. I don't have to unpack very much why so many people like you in these settings. You're a tremendously likable person.
Thank you. I'm a good patient. And I try really hard. Like I have, I don't know why this exists in me, but I'm very competitive about my rehab. Not my rehab in that sense. I would avoid that rehab. But they say, in general, I'm this way. Like I'm this way with like my dental practices. Like meaning not I don't have a dental practice. I mean meaning like what I do for my teeth.
Yeah.
They say do 15 reps, and I do 20. I always have to do 20, and I don't know why, because I'm not a very competitive person. Neither of us are particularly competitive.
No.
But there's just something about being deemed weak that
think about a dentist telling you to like floss 15 times as a weakness.
Right. They're like floss 15 times unless you're a man.
That it feels like that would be a better way to like get people to do medical things they didn't want to.
Yeah. In general, I think you can. What I've learned from my teaching class is that like while I'm a pretty good teacher, shame does more than I can ever do to get people to complete their assignments.
Don't I know it. Shame has been motivating me for the past 31 years. I said that like a tag, like I don't know if you heard it, but I was trying to sound like I was making a commercial for shame.
Yeah, it worked.
So, hey, hashtag shame commercial. That's pretty shoehorned in there. One other thing that I wanted to ask you, you were, just before we started recording, you were mentioning that part of your physical therapy is massage.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Tell me about your like medical massage.
Right. So this is what's weird about medical massage is it starts with the happy ending. No.
Ah, gross.
Yeah, very gross. Especially if you, yeah. Also, you would not want a happy ending from these massage therapists. They have like just super grips. It would crush me.
A happy ending would be them grabbing and ripping off
exactly,
your penis.
Yeah. Exactly. Which is the happiest ending. Now, the difference is that when a doctor type person is removing the knots from your back, as opposed to like, you know, somebody at the, you know, the Swedish or the Thai massage place that you go to and you pay like $40, it's excruciating. That basically they're ironing your back out. Ooh. Like they would start at the top and they would just mash the knots down and then push them down until they were. I don't know where they went. Maybe they escaped out my butthole.
They probably got out your butthole.
Yeah, they're probably out my butthole. But yeah, they would just. But it, yeah, I mean, I've never. Also, I have a really hairy back, and.
Oh, you got it waxed once for a show.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Shout out to Lelon Bowden for waxing my back.
Oh, Lelon.
Yeah, for the people at. The Just for Laughs Comedy Festival in Montreal to see. But yeah, it's excruciating. But now I just feel the majority of my day now is so much more relaxed in that area.
That's so great.
So 5 minutes of just agony for a week of relief, totally worth it.
Totally worth it.
That said, I don't think you can just go get a massage from a physical therapist. Because it feels better.
You should be able to.
You should, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're done with this 5 minutes of agony.
Yeah, exactly. speaking of 5 minutes of agony.
I'm trying so hard. I'm really I'm like your funniest uncle. let's introduce our guest.
Let's do it. We've got a great guest for you today, folks. He is a veteran of some great UCB teams like A Kiss from Daddy and Arts and Athletics. You've seen him on Netflix original series Wet Hot American Summer, First Day of Camp, and Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23. He had some long titles in there, Mookie. And he recently shot a movie with our own Madeline Walter called Cold War, which hopefully we'll all get to see sometime in the near future. Let's give a warm welcome to Michael Blakelock. Around here, we know him as
Mookie!
Thanks for joining us, Mookie.
Thanks for having me.
So,
do we talk now?
Yeah, you can talk.
Okay,
now.
I thought you were pre-recording that intro.
No.
And then we take a break, and then we start talking.
No,
usually
we haven't. I'll tell everybody. I don't think we've nailed the intro.
No.
Of our guest in any way, shape, or form. But
I don't know that an intro needs to be nailed.
No. No, we're all friends here.
Yeah.
We're just here to chill.
Do your own thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we chill too hard on this podcast and it comes back to bite us. Yeah. But it feels right now, it feels like we're at just the perfect level of chill.
Yeah.
So, speaking of the perfect level of chill, here's our first question for you. It's one we like to ask everybody. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you fear death?
Oh, boy. I am holding steady at like an 11.
Yeah.
You're very afraid of death.
Yes.
At all times.
Yes, especially lately with like shootings.
Oh,
I can't stop thinking about that shit.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's,
I can't go to a movie or a concert or a thing without it being on my mind regularly throughout, and it drives me crazy.
Yeah.
Not to bring it way down.
No.
I think everybody has. Yeah. Like at least has their mind in that space right now.
And there's no rhyme or reason to it. It's not like you not like you could say, okay, well, I'm not going to go to the farmer's market here. It could be there. It could be at the movie theater.
Yes. Well, it's not like a preventable, like,
right.
I can hopefully not get cancer by like taking care of myself and like being healthy or whatever, you know what I mean? But it's just like, I don't know. I went to a concert like 2 weeks ago and for some reason, like a week before the concert, I like got it in my head that like somebody's going to walk into this concert and start shooting people. And then I had convinced myself of it, like, oh, it's going to happen. And I almost didn't go to the concert. And then I went, and they were security patting people down on the way in, and that, like, made me feel a lot better. Yeah, and, of course, nothing happened at the concert, and it was fun. But just to, like, have it in your head and, like, to convince yourself, it'll be like I sent my girlfriend a text, like, because I was working that day and I was like, I'm just going to go straight to the concert from work. And she was like, okay, have a good time. And I like see that being in the article being like, this is the last text that he sent to his girlfriend. Like that's, it drives me insane.
No, it's enough to.
Even this podcast would be like an example of like just 1 week before he had been on a podcast talking about how like that's the stuff that convinces my own brain that that stuff is going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, so it feels like you envision your death in the media coverage of it.
Sort of, or just like every element of it where it's just like, ugh, it's like, it's too hard to talk about.
No.
I know I brought it up, but.
I fear that I won't be part of the media coverage, that I would just be some random guy that was killed also. Like, I would like to believe in my lifetime that I've accrued some respect and that they would take a time to say Ben Axelrad was killed
as well. Well, not even whether or not, like, you're in the media for, like, being known, but, like, you know, they, like, talk about the victims of these things and they're like, I don't know. Anyway, sorry.
No, it's, it's like.
It's what we do. It's what we talk about.
It's so. It just sucks. I tend to not as much like things like that feel like they could be random and you could never control it. Like I feel like I can successfully just sort of tell myself there's nothing I can do to prevent that. So like I can put it out of my mind. But even I in a public space now will feel. Like I was in Vegas a couple weeks ago, and I went to this like very like crowded club, and I thought several times what would happen if something started happening, and like where the egg, like just it's once you start thinking about it, it's hard to stop.
Yeah,
that's the good thing about it though, about the anxiety of like knowing the exits and stuff, or like. I feel like I have like an exit plan for every place I go where I'm like, there's an exit there. Yeah. Did I make it a bummer?
No.
It's like a bummer of a week. It's just a bummer time.
And don't take ownership over that. Like a guy in Orlando very recently made this a bummer, and people for the last few years have you know, this isn't on you.
Yeah.
If you start shooting up movie theaters or concerts that you attend,
I promise.
What's the worst thing that ever happened to you in a public space like that? Have you had any like massive encounters of anxiety, like at a concert or a movie or anything like that?
Well, I mean, I like, I hate. Maybe this is the wrong way to phrase this, but like I hate people so much. Sometimes it's a bummer to sort of be like the overwhelming majority of people are kind of like rude and selfish and mean, and
that's what you believe.
Well, not in a big crowd. Right.
Yes. You don't trust that they're going to do the right thing en masse.
Yes. Like I went to a concert. They used to do this. Do you remember the Sunset Junction Festival?
Yeah.
At Sunset Junction in Silver Lake.
I don't, but I can imagine.
Oh, it was like a big outdoor festival. Yeah. It like was this weird, but they like had, it would be these like 2 day festivals like on Sunset Boulevard in Silver Lake. And they would get like amazing, like the year that I went, it was like the Black Keys and Chick 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 and Brooke and Social Scene and like all these like bands at the time that I was like, this is like five great bands at this thing.
I just had this like street festival. Yeah. That's great.
This like $15 street festival.
That's awesome.
So I went with some friends and there was, you know, you're like in a big crowd of people and at a concert, it's like there's people like filming it on their phones and you're like, oh, I fucking hate that person. Yeah. And then there's people that like shove in front of you and you're like, I fucking hate that person. And there's people yeah. that spill a beer on you and they don't go like, oh, I'm sorry. And you're yeah. like, I fucking hate that person.
Yeah.
And there was like yeah. a couple that was like 10 people deep behind me. And we're all just like standing outside. Yeah. It's like a standing outdoor. And you could hear them for like an hour just like looking for like a fight. And anytime they were shoving in front of people, but anytime somebody shoved past them, they would like get in a little thing and like they called a guy a faggot. Like a guy was like, they were like, nice fucking purse. Like stuff like that where you could tell they were just like angry.
Yeah, they're like trying to get a rise out of someone for a fight. So they could.
And then finally they shoved literally right in front of me. And then this girl walked by them, this like 20-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Like scraped by, and the girl like was like, rah, and like grabbed her hair and like threw her down and started punching
what?
Her. And her boyfriend was like kicking this girl.
Jesus.
Wait.
It was fucking crazy.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding at all. And so everybody around them was like trying to tear these two off. And like I grabbed this girl by the arm and I was like, chill the fuck out. And she was like, you don't know me. You don't know me. Like just this
insane.
I know
enough about you that you just are beating up a stranger.
I know that. I know that you shouldn't be beating up on this girl who literally was like, excuse me.
Oh my God.
And then somebody picked up this girl and like pulled her over. And then my friends, we were like in a group of like 10 people and like we had sort of been split into two because it was a big crowd. And like one of my friends from the other group was like standing in between them going like, stop, stop. You need to calm down. And finally we got them separated. And later my friend told me the girl was like crying and was like, I was just trying to go stand with my friends. And the entire rest of the concert, this couple were like staring down this girl and the guy like was like looking over at her and doing like the like cutthroat sign or whatever.
What?
And like pretending like he was going to flick his cigarette at her and stuff.
Wait.
It was just like insane.
That's unbelievable to me.
It's crazy.
That's
I don't even know
deranged.
Why I started telling this story.
Well, I feel like I was surprised when you said you thought all people were monsters. But then when you I've never encountered something like that. Like that's crazy to
But
me.
Even when you know you go to like a movie theater and you're like, why do I always get stuck behind the person that talks? And it's like, no, because everybody talks. Like everybody doesn't know that you have to like shut up for 2 hours and like just watch the movie. And that when you talk, it ruins other people's experiences because they didn't pay to hear you talk. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So it makes sense that when you say the things that you said about the mass shootings, in the sense that it sounds like you don't really trust people to begin with. So that's just sort of the extreme of that. I mean, if on one end of the spectrum, you've got people talking in movie theaters, which is extremely inconsiderate and very self-centered.
Yeah.
Then on the other end of the spectrum, you have people that are willing to take the lives of others. And if you're going out into public feeling like there's always going to be that potential, I don't see how you would ever not have anxiety about being around a group of people that you don't know and trust. I mean, I think that's sort of one of the problems with the world right now is that it's become so big that we have access to everyone, but we don't really know people. I mean, we barely know the people that are close to us, let alone those people who are just literally close to us because they sit behind us at a movie theater.
Yeah.
And I remember I've always had that thing like to a fault where when I'm driving and somebody does something inconsiderate to me, I don't honk at them because it feels like that's rude on my part, even though sometimes it would have prevented me from some dangerous situations.
Yeah.
But so recently I did it for the first time I honked at someone.
For the first time?
Yeah, I honked and I did it. I did it like such a like a beep beep, you know, like it was like so little aggression I put into it. I just beep beep and the lady stopped her car and she got out and she confronted me and my biggest fear came true.
Wait.
That immediately confirmed on your first.
And so you stopped behind, paint the picture. So were you behind?
I was in a parking lot at the gym and what she did was she backed out of the spot and then just parked her car. And so I was attempting to turn into the row. And so now I was sort of hanging in between the main like little like thoroughfare or whatever.
Yeah.
And then this aisle where the cars were. So I was feeling a little bit scared for my own safety.
Yeah.
So she's just sort of stopped there and I don't know what's going on with her. And so I, you know, beep, beep. And then I'm just waiting and she pulls up like just enough so that it will do me no service whatsoever. Like, she starts to move and then just stops. And she gets out of the car and she comes up to me and she yells at me that she was feeding a banana to her baby, which was like a very...
Wait,
was like a,
excuse yeah. me?
Like, it was like it needed more sentence, but she didn't have the time or the inclination to give it to me.
She I'm
like,
feeding excuse, a banana to my baby.
That's like
excuse
literally what
me.
Happened. Yeah,
I need to feed this banana to my baby.
If you combine the two things that you said, that's literally exactly what she said. She goes, excuse me, I'm feeding a banana to my baby.
Wait, what? In the gym parking lot?
In the gym parking lot,
so in this
lot,
world,
yeah.
She was like, I took my baby to the gym.
Yeah, because they have, like, daycare at the gym. So she left her baby in gym daycare.
Did you see how old this baby was?
No. I mean, well, I'd seen the baby before. I didn't know who the...
If she's in front of you... She's like in her car that's like moving.
Yeah, the car was. She had pulled out, like she had put it in reverse, backed out, and then just parked it, and then fed a baby to a banana. You know, because that's what you do. You check your seat belts, you check your rear view mirrors, you feed a baby to a banana, and then you pull out.
Feed a banana to a baby.
Right. You feed. Yes. Exactly. I mean, I don't.
What kind of bananas are we talking about?
I don't have kids.
Wait,
I don't
her
have kids.
Baby was big enough to be left at a gym daycare, but it couldn't eat a banana itself?
I guess.
But that's one of those things. Go ahead.
No, I just feel like people, like, I think it's like human instinct for whenever you're called out for something, like, you will do anything before just saying, oh, I'm so sorry.
Right.
Yes. I was wrong.
No.
Like I found recently, like, I'm an okay driver, but sometimes I'll do, like, a dumb thing, like, try to make a left, and then, like, it stops a bunch of traffic, and, like, you know, like, you're, like, kind of, stuck for a long time. But I've noticed that, like, if I just show the person who I've, like, who is waiting while my car is, like, blocking them, I just make an over-the-top, like, I'm so sorry, I don't know what I did, mm-hmm. Like, immediately everything changes. Like, they don't honk at me. They'll go, like, they'll smile or they'll wave. If you're just like, I'm an idiot. But, like, it takes so much self-control to not be like, I didn't do anything wrong.
Very much so.
I'm feeding a banana to my baby, you fucking asshole.
Right.
Like, it's like every, like, defensive person. Yeah. But anytime I've ever, like, sort of had to or felt like I should honk at someone... Yeah. And they went, sorry, it's like immediately over. It's like, no problem.
Yes.
People make mistakes.
Exactly.
Like, I've done stuff that I've been deservedly honked at.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And sometimes a honk is like, hey, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Or, you
or like,
you
be careful.
Do that.
Are you paying attention?
Or
like,
whatever.
Watch out.
Even sometimes it's like, what the fuck are you doing? Yeah. But if someone's like, I know, I understand that I'm doing something right now. And I'm sorry, but I found myself in this situation and I'm going to try and get out of it. You're just like, okay, it's fine.
Right. Yeah.
Like, we're all
totally.
Living in the same reality. We all saw the same thing. Mm-hmm. We're on the same page.
And you know they're not
going to
go do
fine.
It again.
No.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, at least try not to do it again.
Yeah.
It's just like,
it was never on purpose.
Diffuses everything immediately just to say, like, ooh, so sorry.
Yeah. And I think what reasonable and I'll say intelligent people, but definitely reasonable people realize is that, like, the apology just ends the conversation. So this lady parked in the middle of the road, fed a baby a banana, and then I apologized. But why? Because she yelled at me, and I knew that was how the thing was going to stop.
Also, that's the thing about people where you're like, how does just a regular, normal, sane, rational person know to, like, what goes through your head when you're like, instead of feeding the banana to the baby while I'm in my parking spot, I'm going to pull out into where there is traffic and then do it. What in your head goes, that's the way I should do it rather than I'll do it when I'm parked? Not that she's a monster for pulling out or whatever. That's like a small offense in the world of offenses that a human being can commit. Yeah. But, like, to not know, just like, I should just do it here.
Mm-hmm.
I should just take 1 minute and feed the banana to the baby now while I'm in the parking spot and not in anyone's way.
No.
Rather than, like, what in your head is like, I should pull out first, stop, do it now, and then leave. What is in your head?
Right.
Man?
Like a world where she doesn't have a baby.
Right.
Or a banana, and that's just the first thing that came to her mind.
I'm feeding a banana to my baby. Wait a minute. You have no banana.
Yeah, there's no baby in that. There's no banana in that car.
How dare you?
And I would guess that what happened was She had a banana. She had this baby. She pulled out, realized she hadn't fed the banana to the baby, and then just parked in the middle of the road and did that in the same way that, like, I will need to set my GPS, but I'll forget to. Yeah. I'll start driving, and then next thing I know, I'm setting my GPS while I'm driving down the road. But I don't have a baby that I'm attempting to protect from an idiot stoner like me at the gym, of all places, a place I'm dreading being. Like, all I'm thinking about is how to get out of there quicker. I mean, I wish no harm on this lady's baby, but in that same way that, like, I don't think anyone wished harm on the little toddler that got swallowed up by the gator this past weekend either.
It's,
things happen, and you need to be prepared to protect yourself and others. If you got a baby and you got a banana, those need to be first and second priorities in your life.
Yeah,
or like
maybe opposite order.
Or like, you know, just like its own separate priority.
Right.
Yes.
Like, take a minute, find a place where it's safe to feed a banana to a baby, and then drive wherever you're driving.
Yeah. So, Mookie, do you have any? So, other than like, so you have a lot of fears about like tragedy striking in your life. Do you have does that fear bleed into like health or like the failing of your own body, or like do you have any kind of hypochondriac tendencies at all?
I mean, I have anxiety.
Yeah.
I have like prevalent anxiety that I used to take medication for, but I don't anymore. I only took medication for like a short time, but I mean, like, I'm always anxious and like, you know, I have heart palpitations.
Really?
Yeah.
But like as a result of the anxiety, or you have heart palpitations and that causes you anxiety?
I think it's as a symptom of the anxiety.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because when they first started happening, I diagnosed, I guess, with anxiety.
When was that?
This is the story that I was going to tell.
Oh, well, let's hear it.
We'll tell it.
Perfect time.
What a seamless transition.
I know. Very organic. It's just a conversation.
So basically, my story of me thinking that I was dying, which I feel like is maybe 1,000 other people's stories, but it was like when I had a panic attack.
We haven't, right. I don't
no,
think
we haven't,
we haven't talked about a panic attack yet on this podcast.
So you
pop our panic attack. Gross. Never mind. Just tell your story.
You pop
it's
our
okay.
panic cherry and you pop it now.
I'm not a shady old guy at a truck stop. Just tell your story.
Tell your story.
Hey, Madeline, you can be a shitty old guy anywhere you want to be. Don't you sell yourself short.
This is America.
Yeah.
There was like a little tiny bit leading up to it, but like just all of a sudden, like, got a couple of heart palpitations a couple of times. There was like one time I was like, I was working on a show, a very stupid show that was on Comedy Central.
Do you want to say the name of the show? Or do
it was called Secret Girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
That was like your first
stupid, it was
big job out here, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which was the thing that I was like, so we were filming one day and it was like the last day of shooting. And we were like shooting in a car, and all of a sudden I had like a huge heart palpitation. Ooh. And that that's like an anxiety, but also like it gives you anxiety because you're like, it feels like my heart just stopped for a second or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's what that's what a heart palpitation feels
like?
It's
like this weird, like your heart almost feels like it skips a beat or it makes like a big beat or something. It's this very recognizable. And then all of a sudden you sort of like lose your breath and get lightheaded.
Oh. Yeah.
So I was like, I all of a sudden like felt that and I started getting really anxious about it. And I was like, I feel really lightheaded. And they were like, we were like shooting.
Yeah.
And I was like, just like, I feel really weird right now. I feel lightheaded. And they were like, okay. So they like drove back to, you know, set
like,
or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like I got out and they like gave me water and they had like the set medic like come and talk to me. And it just like kept happening for the rest of the day.
How often? Like what? How often between heart, like, was it like every minute or every?
Maybe like every hour for an actual palpitation, but then like I was sort of like short of breath and I was like trying to calm down and the set medic was like giving me water and was like, you know, just like calm down, relax. And
But the best thing to relax is just for someone to be
and
like,
then
relax.
Like, you know, after like an hour or so, I was like trying to be tough and not like. There's a lot of people here whose job it is. So I like went back and shot and I was like trying to quell that while I was like doing like this dumb thing in front of a green screen where I was like, whatever. Inside I was like, huh.
Yeah, that's terrible.
So that happened, and then it sort of like kept creeping up in the next like couple of weeks after that, and we were done shooting, and then we were shooting this like promo thing for online, and it was like me and this other guy who was in the show with me, and it like was happening. We like went to somebody's apartment, and it was like to just shoot these like promos for like no pay or whatever. We just were doing this like little quick thing. They were like, we're going to do it in an afternoon and we're going to shoot these little promos.
Yeah.
And I started like feeling that way during the thing. And I like literally was like, I have to take a break. And I like went in the bedroom of the apartment we were in. And I like, and they were like, and everybody there was like very nice. This was like a small, there was only a couple people there. And they were like, all right, go relax. And they like shot the thing like with just the one guy.
Yeah.
Without me, and then they like came in and they were like, are you okay? And I like started crying and I was like, I don't know what's happening to me. It was like this thing.
Oh, what a bad thing. And was that the full panic attack, or was that just more? So this is more palpitations.
Those were like the two events leading up to this thing. And then I was in Boston. I had like gone to New York with my girlfriend, who's still currently my girlfriend. Yeah. And this was like, we went to New York and then we went to Boston. Because that's where I'm from, and she was like gonna like meet my parents for the first time and stuff like that. Ooh. So we were in New York, and then we went to Boston, and we were staying in the city for like two nights. We had a hotel room, and we like went out for drinks with a high school friend of mine who still lived in Boston, and then a college friend of mine who lived in LA but was in Boston at the time working. Mm-hmm. So we like all went out for like dinner and drinks.
Yeah.
And we were at this bar on Mass Ave called Wally's, which was like a jazz bar. So there was like a jazz band playing and we were drinking.
I'm having a panic attack just hearing that.
That was fun. It was like a quirky thing to do. And then that was like a time in my life when I was only drinking Guinnesses. I would like go to a bar and I would only order it. So I would drink like five Guinnesses. So I'm basically like,
just because that was your
just
drink?
Just because I was like so unhealthy and overweight, and like I was just like, I like Guinnesses. It's like so basically I was like drinking five milkshakes or whatever.
Yeah.
So we had like had a big dinner and like my stomach was really full and we had this thing, and then all of a sudden like we're drinking in this bar and like I have like a huge heart palpitation. And I'm with like my girlfriend and like my two friends. And I got up and I was like, I need to go to the bathroom and just like splash water on my face or something. And because you start to think like, am I like going to have a heart attack right now or something?
Right.
Yeah.
And then in the bathroom, it like started like getting worse and it started to like be hard to breathe. And I like came out and like whispered in my girlfriend's ear. I was like, hey, will you come outside with me for a second? And she was like, oh, okay. Excuse us for a second. And we went outside and I was like, I can't breathe. And all of a sudden, like my arms started like going numb and stuff like that. And I literally was like, oh, I'm having a heart attack. And I was like, I literally like my arms were like buzzing. Like I couldn't, they like started going numb. And we were out there for a while and she's like trying to calm me down. And then like finally my two friends come out and they're like, are you okay? And I was just like, I feel like, I don't know, I feel weird or whatever. Like it was like hard to talk. And so my college friend had like driven there in her car and she was like, do you want me to drive you to the hospital? And I was like, yes, please. So we all got in her car and she drove me to the emergency room. And then, my girlfriend and I got out and I was just like, well, nice seeing you guys. I'm sorry that this happened. And they left. The one nice part about the story was that my college friend and my high school friend, who had never met each other before, she like gave her a ride home and they like exchanged numbers and hung out a couple times.
Oh, that's nice. Cool. Nice.
So a little friendship.
A little friendship to come out of your harrowing experience.
Yeah. But we went to the emergency room and like waited for a little while. And also my college friend was there working on a movie. And she was like, I can have the set medic like call you later or something like that if you want. I can maybe see if he can, because I also was like broke and I was like, I can't spend money on him. Can you get me a doctor for free or something? So, but we went to the emergency room and waited for a little bit and then like saw a doctor and they were like, what happened? And I was like, my heart felt weird, and then my arms went numb, and it was hard to breathe and whatever. And at this point, I had, like, calmed down a lot more.
Yeah.
I remember...
Yeah. Did your body... Oh, yeah. Well, go ahead.
Well, this is a gross element of the story, but we were, like, sitting in the emergency room, and I was just, like, waiting, and then we were, like, waiting in the waiting room, and, like, my stomach, like, started to hurt or something, and then I was, like... This is so stupid. No. I just was like, my girlfriend was like, are you okay? She was like really concerned. He's like, yeah. Are you okay? And I was like, I need to go to the bathroom. And then like went in the bathroom and had like diarrhea or something. Yeah. Like it was just like, cause my stomach was just like churning and we had this thing. So I was like sitting in there like hard to breathe, like sitting on the toilet with like.
Oh, with diarrhea.
Yeah, it was crazy. So I came back out and then we like finally saw the doctor and she like, you know, took my pulse and blood pressure and all that stuff like that. And I described to her what happened. And she was like, yeah, it sounds like a panic attack. We get those all the time. And then my girlfriend started crying. And the doctor was like, are you okay? And she was just like, it's just scary. I was scared. And she's like, and she to her was like, he's fine.
Right.
Like, it's just a panic attack. It's anxiety. Yeah. Like, he's fine.
She had the sweet relief tears that you weren't dying
like,
from this thing.
She was like probably holding it together.
Yeah.
Just like
because I was
fine,
like a mess of a puddle. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the minute, this is like not at all the same. It's like this is such a stupid story to tell in comparison. But like when my cat got attacked.
You know,
like it was like fine, and like I was like pulled together. And then as soon as we like handed her over to the vet, I just like couldn't stop crying
because
it's just that like moment of being allowed.
Yeah,
to
you
cry.
Have to be brave so that the other person and then it all rushes back. So she was crying and then the doctor literally like almost I want to say like impatiently was just like he's fine.
Because I bet like every
she
day
she probably gets 100 people being like I'm having a heart attack and they're like you're not
right.
You're just a fucking dork. and then we like went back to, we like took a cab back to our hotel room and it was like really hard for me to sleep because I was like, what if it happens again?
Yeah.
Like the anxiety causes more anxiety
because
having a panic attack is so awful that you like start going like, am I going to have another one? And then you start having anxiety about that and you can like almost just induce another one.
Yeah.
Sure.
But that's the only full-blown panic attack I've ever actually had.
Really?
I've come close a couple other times. And this was also, like, probably 7 years ago or something like that.
Yeah.
And so it's been much more managed. The more time that goes by that you know that it's that when something happens. Because I still have heart palpitations every now and then, but it's just one of those, like, it's just a brain trick. And
you just
have to take some deep breaths and calm down. And, but sometimes it's... It's harder than other times.
Yes. Sure.
What did you, so after you had that panic attack and were like aware that this was like a thing that could happen to your body, did you do anything to like address it? Like, did you like go to therapy or did you get, is that when you got the meds?
Yes,
like, what did you do after that?
So it was like a little while of sort of almost like wanting a second opinion or something. For a little bit after that, it was like sort of trying to figure out like, other reasons. So I was like, it's chest congestion or something. So I would like buy Mucinex and be like, I figured it out. It was just chest congestion.
Did you go to a doctor? Were you still so broke that you were like, I don't want to go to a doctor?
No. So I went to, I had gone to like the walk-in clinic or something and they were just like, it sounds like anxiety.
Yes.
I kept being like, is it chest congestion? Is it like, I thought it was like heartburn for a while.
Uh-huh.
Where it was like, I have such bad heartburn that it's making my heart whatever.
Yeah, that I can't breathe and I think I'm dying. Yeah.
So finally I like went to the clinic and the doctor was like, it sounds like anxiety. And he was like, if you want to get medication for it, because it was like driving me crazy. He was like, you need to go see a psychologist. Whatever.
Psychiatrist is medicine.
Psychiatrist.
Is not
correct.
Yes. I always
have to go
forget.
See a psychiatrist because they can prescribe medicine. Yes. So I think I did a Google search and I found this lady who was like in Beverly Hills and it was so expensive.
Yeah.
And it was so like, so you can tell that because their thing is that they prescribe medicine and they make money from that. Mm-hmm. They're just like, cause it would be like, you know, if you like, every session was like, you know, when you feel that way, just think about something else and you'll feel better.
Oh,
it's just
like, the therapy
part of what a psychiatrist does is such bullshit. Yeah. They're just like, it's like going to a weed doctor, I feel like.
Yeah.
I feel like everybody like makes fun of like how you can just go to, you know, a medical marijuana doctor and be like, back pain, and they give you a prescription. But I feel like it's really not dissimilar from a psychiatrist, at least a bad one,
because I don't know.
I feel like all they want to do is just give you medicine.
I mean, I think that's like what they – it's like almost more what they do than they're like pill pushers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because they don't do that.
They are. Yeah. They're not supposed to provide you with therapy.
Yeah,
like therapy is something altogether different.
It's really misleading, though. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but yeah, and then you pay them $90 to go sit there and like talk for an hour. Like, I'm really convincing yourself, like, I'm working through some stuff, really, when the lady's like, if you get anxious, then, like, think about what's, like, a happy thing that you like. And I'm like, I like doing comedy or whatever. Like, okay, think about that.
Oh, that's what causes the anxiety.
I think that's one of the causes of anxiety out here is that we now attempt to professionally do the thing that used to just cause us happiness, you know, and that there is a disconnect in the brain that being aggressive about something that causes you happiness there's a disconnect. It's very difficult to do it without causing yourself either anxiety or a feeling where you just completely chill out to the point where you won't have a career. And you do want to have a career.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's like on the pile of many things. Yeah.
So you went to her and she was like, think of comedy. And then,
gave me advice, shitty advice. then prescribed me two different medications, which was like Celexa, which is like the one you take every day to like sort of like, I guess, stop the anxiety from the root.
Yeah.
And then lorazepam, which was like as needed. So if I felt particularly anxious or felt like I was going to have a panic attack, I could take one of those and it would like instantly calm me down.
That like knocks – is that one like a – heavy like lorazepam like kind of knocks you out a little.
It
should be a tranquilizer.
So they both had like kind of weird side effects, but lorazepam was like it would like help me sleep, but it would make it like it would knock me out so hard that it was like it was physically difficult to get up in the morning. Like literally it was hard to open my eyes in the morning, and I would sleep, and it would make me sleep until like 2 or 3 in the afternoon, and I was like groggy all day at like really, but I also was like, it's the only way I'm gonna sleep unless I want to just stay up and think about all the things I'm worrying about.
So what are the things that you worry about primarily?
Oh God.
Like, is it more pragmatic stuff or is it like more big picture kind of stuff? Like, do you worry about like rent and things like that, or like finding love and having a successful career and like your family's, you know, well-being and whatnot?
It's like everything, because there's like little things that can trigger little bouts of anxiety, and then there's like larger like, you know, like I think everybody hates me, none of my friends really like me or something like that,
it takes so. Like, I feel like finally, you know, at like the age of like 31, I've been able to identify some of those thoughts as false anxiety driven thoughts. Yeah. But it takes so little for me to think that like, oh, well, it's like this person's mad at me. This friendship's over.
Yeah.
Like just because of like basically nothing or like an email that didn't seem as nice as normal. Like it's so crazy how much. Things that are not real can start to feel real so quickly.
My girlfriend just read a thing that she was talking to me about where like I think for like hypochondriac or like anxious people, if you have a theory about something like that, your brain starts to look for proof and evidence.
Sure. Yes.
So you can take things and go like, that's further proof that all my friends hate me, or like that's further proof that like something it turns things into like proof and evidence.
Yes.
And then you spiral.
Yeah.
There's a narrative to everything. And if you look for it,
yeah,
it's just usually it's not the one that the universe is actually telling you. I can't remember who I was talking about this with yesterday. Our mutual friend amongst us, Mike Hanford, that like back in the day, I would have been somebody who said that like the universe was sending me all these signs. And now I just realized that like, no, I am the universe. You are the universe. Madeline is the universe. And then we create these signs and symbols for ourselves so that we can then justify that thing that we're attempting to tell ourselves about the world. That like it's just much easier to be tell yourself that everyone hates you, but then also feel like you're right than to be like, no, I'm just wrong about everything. This is how we make sense of the world, you know? Yeah. But you're wrong. Your friends do like you, as evidenced by the two right here in this room.
Oh, thanks, guys.
And all the others that I know. Well, we have plenty of barbecues together, a lot of parties.
Are they pissed at me that I brought up shootings before? And are they mad that I...
No.
Yeah, ugh. It's like
I but they
feel
wouldn't
like
say,
it,
you would say no to my... You wouldn't say yes to my face, you know what I mean?
Turn away so I can say no again.
It takes like, I feel like it's like, feels like a snag, like I visualize it as like a snag in a sweater almost. It's like if my like brain gets like caught on something, then it's just like, it's just stuck there forever.
Yeah.
Or like I have to like, usually like forget it. Like I've tried to deliberately sort of train my brain to forget about something.
Yeah.
And then I'll be like, it's very hard. But like, do you feel like sometimes like you have just sort of like a place for like you have like a space that needs to be filled by some anxiety, and so if like one thing is resolved, basically your anxiety is just displaced to something else.
I like sometimes I think that my anxiety has some positive effects.
Sure.
As in like I'm never late for anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never ever late for anything. Sometimes I'm so early for a thing that I have to like wait in my car because but you know what I mean? Yeah. But it's one of those things where it's like, well, nobody ever got mad at me for being late. That's like the kind of thing where because I have anxiety about like making people wait for me or even if I've rarely been late to something because of like traffic or something beyond my control, I get anxious about like, but I'm not at the thing on time and I'm the guy who's always at the thing on time.
Yeah.
And probably going back to, you know, I think speaking to the thing about the mass shootings or whatever, that, and then going, you know, how we sort of trace that to how little you trust the ability of people to be like kind and respectful and whatnot. That, you know, when Mookie was on his way here, he texted Madeline and I to see if we wanted Tim to pick up coffee.
Yeah.
And that's a very considerate thing. And I think that that's something that's very important to you. I think that you're hyper aware of a lot of these things that other people do that upset you, and that as a result you can be a very kind and considerate and nurturing and caring person, and that is a result of
me.
When we got that text I was like, I said to Ben, I was like, ugh, this, that's so Mookie. I really
And I said that like that Mookie is sensitive to other people being inconsiderate, which is part of why I think he's so considerate, and that is a positive result of that anxiety that you're talking about. Well, often these things make us a better person.
Sure. I mean, my anxiety of that is like walking in here like with my own coffee, being like, I'm loving the shit out of this coffee, and you guys don't have any coffee.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know.
But how many people don't think that ever? They just show up with their coffee because, hey, if these other people wanted coffee, they would have gotten their own.
Sure.
And so that's a nice thing. It's
but
a
I
good
also
thing.
Don't even think that that's necessarily bad to just get your own coffee and show up without asking for coffee. That's not such a...
No.
I don't think that makes anybody a bad person.
No.
But it does make you a good... It makes someone a good person to care about others, you know? So sometimes it's not a matter of opposite ends of the spectrum. A person can be good without someone not doing that deed being bad. You just, I think the point being that that I agree that sometimes the things that cause us the most anxiety are the things that help us to be most nurturing and supportive of other people.
Sure.
I feel like we recently had, I think I even addressed it when it was happening, that we had recently had like our first like real conversation at our friend Dave Ferguson's house. We were talking, we had this.
You were talking about weed, right?
Yeah, we were weed, but then also that thing where I'm trying to remember exactly what what we were talking about. But I feel
eating and being like addicted to food and being overweight.
And then people like trying to make you feel like you weren't fat when you are, and so you're not doing me any favors.
Yes.
Like, it's
the way I hate that shit when I'm like making a joke and I'm like, well, a fat guy like me, and they're like, you're not fat, and you're like, I am.
Right.
I'm not like falling into a depression hole being like, I'm a fat piece of shit. But just like, I am fat. I'm overweight.
Yeah.
I don't mind that I am. I've been it my whole life. I've learned how to manage it. But it's just when people are like, no, you're not. And you're like, you don't have to make me. Right. I don't feel bad about it. I'm fine.
Especially because in that instance, it's the premise to a joke, you know?
Like, you're taking that away from me. You can't make your joke.
Yeah. Well, I think, I don't know. I wonder if people think that, like, I guess I could sort of see this from an anxiety standpoint of, like, if somebody's like, I'm fat. By you not saying, hey, no, you're not. It's like you're almost
agreeing
and
yes,
like, I'm
fat.
Calling that person fat.
Right.
Because you would never, obviously you would never like, I know that none of my friends would ever be like, hey, you're fat.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
not even the ones that hate you. Apparently.
Yeah. But like, you know,
you're right.
I would even say like, it is hard to like see your friends be sort of like, self-deprecating in like a humorous way, but like, you know, whenever your friend's like, you know, does something and they're like, oh, I'm a fucking idiot.
And you're like,
no, you're not. You know, you're not, because you know that they're not.
Yeah.
Or you want to make them feel better. Yeah. I guess that's a different thing than being like, I'm fat, which I am.
And our friends are all fucking idiots.
Yeah.
Well, that was a great conversation. Should we play a little game?
Let's play a game.
Yeah. So this game, I'm going to take a second to pull it up on my little computer.
Great.
This game.
It's an iPad.
This is what we're doing.
It's not a little computer.
This is what we're doing. I see. Yeah.
Little computer?
What a fun little computer. There's no keyboard. It looks like a large phone.
Alexis,
what
you
a
need
fun
to,
little
would
computer.
You cut her mic. Cut her mic. So this game is a little something I thought up in regards to the movie that you guys did together, Cold War. So while I'm pulling this up, why don't you guys tell the audience what the movie is about, because it'll sort of apply to this.
Cold War is an independent comedic film that. I mean, it is.
It is.
I was just saying it like
in
an asshole.
Joke way, but all those things are true. Yeah, it's an independent comedy. Mookie and I play a couple who moves in together and then both gets very, very sick with the flu.
And then they just drive each other crazy.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
The game is called The Cold War in honor of this. It's going to be a little competition between co-stars. What we will do is I'm going to give you multiple choice questions. Mookie, are you a competitive person?
I mean, if
that's
I'm being honest,
yes.
Sure, I like the feeling of winning, being better than someone at something.
Sounds good. So I'm going to give you guys, we'll go one at a time. I will give you a multiple choice question, and if you get it correctly, you'll get 10 points. If you do not get it correctly, the other participant can steal for 5 points, and whoever is the winner at the end of this game will be declared the winner at the end of this game. I really didn't put any thought into what this victory, how we're going to celebrate this victory.
That makes
sense. Maybe Alexis cut my mic. there's a banana
in
it. Yeah, exactly.
Whatever little baby wins, we'll get a banana.
That's right.
The loser has to feed it to them.
Yeah, right.
Let's make that. The loser has to feed the winner a banana.
In a car.
In a car.
Yeah.
Parked in the middle of the street.
In the middle of sunset, eating a banana.
Ben.
All right, honey.
Yeah.
All right. So, Mookie, this first question is for you. The most common type of colds. Oh, sorry. I can't remember if I mentioned. All of these are going to be about questions about the common cold.
Great. That's great. Okay.
So the most common type of colds are referred to as A, hippovirus, B, rhinovirus, or C, orcovirus.
Oh, hippovirus is like, is it okay if I talk it out?
Sure,
like,
absolutely.
Who wants to be a millionaire style?
Yeah, it'd be much more interesting if you did.
I feel like hippovirus is like one of the like new ones, like swine flu or something, where they like call it hippovirus. So I don't think it's that. Mm-hmm. I've never heard of rhinovirus. and I'm probably tricking myself into thinking that I do know, I have heard Orca Virus. So I'm going to go with Orca Virus.
Okay. That is not the correct answer. I Madeline, steal for five.
I thought.
I think it's rhinovirus.
It is rhinovirus.
Yeah. God damn
yeah.
it.
You, yeah.
As in the
the one I didn't even consider. I know. The one I didn't even have an opinion on.
Orca virus, clearly a misdirect. Putting another animal in there, an orca whale. Right, orca virus doesn't exist,
No,
does
orcas, I don't believe hippovirus exists either.
Oh, I just thought hippovirus was a flu.
Oh, I don't. I just picked two other animals that were deemed.
Oh, you made these questions up yourself. This isn't from like an online.
Sort of. It is the wrong answers I made up myself.
Oh,
the
like
right
balderdash.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So rhino, as in rhinoplasty, as in the nose.
The nose. The nose of virus.
And yeah. And so. Yeah, I just picked two other animals that were considered in sort of the same family as the rhino. Strangely, whales and dolphins are considered a not close relatives, but in sort of the same family
as the rhino
and hippo. The rhino and hippos are the closest to each other, but there are a lot of scientists. This is what I discovered when looking this up, that a lot of scientists deem that that whales and dolphins should be in the same family. Anyway, moving on.
Anyways,
well, I guess that's 5 points for me.
I will be completely incapable of keeping track of scores. So
we can remember how many points we have.
It's Madeline's leading 1-0.
Yeah,
oh, five. I'm sorry.
Currently leading 5-0.
Madeline.
Yes.
Question number two.
Yes.
The average adult gets how many colds a year? A, 2 to 4, B, 3 to 5, or C, 6 to 10?
I'm going to go with my gut, which is 2 to 4.
2 to 4 is correct.
Ha-ha!
6 to 10 is the number of colds per year that a child gets.
Whoa.
That's
oh,
a lot
yeah.
of
kids
colds.
Are
yeah.
full of
germ
germs.
Factories.
Yeah, no,
germ
thank
factories.
You.
Ugh,
I don't like to get close to a kid.
No,
I really don't.
Yeah, I
always
held,
get scared I'm going to get sick.
I held a friend of the podcast, Baby Rigby, yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And felt nothing but fear. Yeah. She sneezed once, and I almost dropped her in the frozen foods aisle.
This is when you stole her and were running through a grocery store.
Yeah, why were you in a supermarket?
There's a lot of good places to hide a baby in a supermarket, Mookie. I think you know that. We took a little walk around the supermarket. I like to walk around supermarkets. When I was poor in New York City, my two hobbies were going to small claims court and wandering around supermarkets. I'm not going to lie. When I was in the supermarkets, I would steal
food. Wait, hold on.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, I had no money and I needed food.
Oh, I did that in college.
Yeah.
Wait, both of you stole food?
I have stolen so many Hot Pockets in my life.
You stole frozen foods?
Yeah.
Where did you put it?
Just in my backpack, and then the grocery store was maybe like 5 minutes from my house walking.
Actually, of course, everybody should steal from a grocery store because
you have so much food.
They're so big.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're
and nobody
throw it
can
away
ever
anyways.
See you.
And I looked exactly
why
like...
Why have I never stolen from a grocery store?
No.
Well, because if you get caught, then there's consequences. But
we're pretty white.
that's true.
It's really easy.
We live in a world without consequences.
It's true. It's true.
I feel bad about it every day.
Okay, Mookie, question number three.
Wait, what's the score now? How many points
15?
Did you get?
15. I got 10 for that, so it's 15-0.
Okay.
Seems like a runaway already. Unless
no, there's plenty of opportunities. After coming into contact with an infected person, someone who has the cold, wash your hands with A, soap and water, B, alcohol-based hand sanitizers, or C, antibacterial products containing triclosan. Triclosan.
Ooh, I thought this was going to be easy, but it's kind of
the first
question.
Two were a little they ramp up.
I think that triclosan thing is a little too specific. I think you're throwing that in there as a deterrent. I'm going to say.
Interesting.
By the way that you said that question, like when you come in contact with an infected person with the cold, you made it sound like a zombie.
That's why I added the cold part was not written on this page. I realized that I really made that sound like this was something a lot worse than the common cold. Yeah.
I'm going to go good old soap and water.
That is correct.
Ooh.
See?
You can't fool me, man.
It's 15
triclosan.
Wow. Is that real? Or you made up triclosan?
Actually, antibacterial products containing triclosan are the products that you should absolutely avoid.
Because they are making those super bugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Here's where we get into some of the upsetting stuff.
Okay.
Oh.
Great.
Madeline.
Yes.
A single sneeze can spray how many germs into the air?
Oh, my gosh.
A.
Yeah.
1,000. B. 10,000. Or C. 100,000.
I'm going to say 100,000 just because germs are so small. I feel that it has to be a lot.
That is correct. 100,000 germs. 100,000 germs.
It's thinking about germs in like a numerical quantity is very alarming.
Well, germs are one of those things where like 1,000, you would never even see 1,000. You couldn't even isolate 1,000 of them. They're so
right.
Yeah,
it had to have been that. The answer to that had to have been the largest number.
It was either going to be like 10 or 100 million.
Yeah,
like,
it wasn't
going to be. Okay. And incidentally, I should mention before anyone deems anything to be a runaway in this competition that I made up that I'm bad at scoring. There is a final Cold War question that is worth enough points that it could eliminate all of the competition. Okay. Who's up? I can't remember.
Mookie?
Okay.
Mookie. So this game is meaningless. Okay.
Yeah.
It's fun.
A single cold virus can infect how many people over the course of a day? 1.6 million, 6 million, or 16 million?
A single cold virus? This is
single
your question.
Cold virus. Ask.
I feel like this is the opposite of the last one. I'm going to go low. I'm going to say 1.6 million, the first one.
That is not correct.
God.
Madeline.
Damn it.
What? I'm going to say the second biggest one.
6 million?
Yeah.
No points earned for this one.
Whoa, are
16
you kidding
million
me?
People.
A single?
Wow. Cold.
Wow, wow, wow.
A single strain.
That's how many? That's insane.
You mean like being passed from person to person?
It's just like it's strong enough. Whatever, those germs that exist in the air are strong enough to infect 16 million people. And it's not necessarily like one person sneezes, 16 million people could get that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people to be around.
People.
That's like a Kevin Hart concert.
Oh, yeah.
That is a legit number for a Kevin Hart concert. The biggest, numbers.
And that is just a testament to how talented Kevin Hart is.
He's never going to die. Okay. I don't remember the score. Madeline.
I think it's 25 to 10, I want to say.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think that's what it is. Yeah.
Madeline, how many different colds will the average person be exposed to in a lifetime?
Ooh.
10, 100, or 1,000?
100?
That is correct.
Ooh!
100.
Damn.
100 different colds. And that's just average. Because of the different mutations of cold strains, that number can shoot into the thousands.
It can?
I mean, for a single person, they would die probably.
If they got that many colds?
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh.
Okay.
Whoa.
Mookie.
Yes.
A sneeze lingering in the air remains contagious for A, 3 hours, B, 16 hours, or C, 48 hours.
I can't even believe that the lowest option is 3 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
That seems so long for a sneeze to just be lingering in a room.
Okay. Yeah.
What was it? 3?
16 and 48.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh. I'm going to say 3.
That is correct.
Yes.
And I'm happy
because
I like your trust in your instinct on that one. 16 is just 3 times 16 equals 48, I think. And 48 hours is the amount of time that a cold will remain on a doorknob that someone touches. Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. So for 3 days, a doorknob is infectious.
Yeah.
We've got one more question and then we'll do the final war. This go quick.
Great.
Germs are least likely to infect you through your A, mouth, B, nose, or C, eyes.
Or D, butt.
D, butt.
Yeah, I'm going to go with D, butt.
But.
Yeah.
That is incorrect.
No.
Mookie for the steal.
No, give her.
Give
her a chance.
You're competitive, so you want to follow the rules.
Yeah.
Okay, mouth, I'm going to say.
That is correct, mouth.
Oh,
you'd think, I feel like you'd think it would be eyes. No.
Because your eyes your eyes are a germ portal. You never touch your eyes.
So nose number one, Eyes number two.
Oh, I thought eyes would be number one.
Nose number one, eyes number two, and then mouth number three.
Wow.
And mouth is it doesn't tend to cause a lot of problems. In fact, your mouth touching other things tends to be more of the problem because your mouth contains so much bacteria.
Your mouth gives germs but doesn't take them. Real one-sided.
The 50-point final
Much
war
like,
question.
Well, never mind. No, it was great. It's not funny. I'll tell you off air.
This is not a multiple choice question.
Okay.
Who comes closest to this will receive 50 points and the banana victory.
Is it Price is Right rules where you can't go over?
Sure.
Okay.
How fast does a sneeze travel miles per hour?
I feel like I've read about this or something.
When do we say our guess?
We're talking miles per hour.
How fast does a sneeze travel?
Yeah. Why don't we? So on the count of three, each say your answer, and hopefully I'll hear them separately.
Okay.
Okay. One, two, three.
100 miles per hour.
100 miles per hour.
Ladies and gentlemen. One of our contestants got the answer exactly right, and that person is Michael Mookie Blakelock.
Yes,
oh my God!
in your fucking face, man.
A sneeze travels 100 miles an hour.
How does your head not explode into pieces?
You're getting it out of your head.
It doesn't leave your head at 100 miles an hour. It picks up that's how it travels at a rate of 100,000 miles
an hour. So if you plug up your nose when you sneeze, your whole body could explode.
Probably.
That's what they do say. It's bad to like hold your sneeze in because
it's like hitting the inside of your body with a train. Yeah. That's insane.
100 miles an hour. So. Mookie will be receiving a banana fed to him by Madeline.
I can't wait.
In the middle of sunset at Serrano. That was a great competition.
That Mookie, was really a great sports moment.
Thank you so much for joining us on this podcast.
Guys, thanks for having me.
Thank you.
You're both great.
You are too. And if you think you might be having a heart attack, it might just be a panic attack.
Yeah.
So, but at the same time.
Could be a heart attack.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
If you think you're having a heart attack is like, it's just a panic attack.
I heard on a podcast, this is nothing.
If you think you're having a panic attack, it might be a heart attack. You need to see someone immediately.
In any event, be careful, everybody.
Yeah. Stay safe.
Listen to your body. Trust your instincts. Yeah. You'll call, err on the side of going to the hospital.
Yeah. Thanks, Mookie.
You're welcome.
This has been Definitely Dying. Thank you guys so much for listening.
You can follow us on Twitter at Definitely Dying. And until next time, stay healthy.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.